Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Content warning. Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is not suitable for all audiences, and viewer/listener discretion is advised. For example, if, when you just heard the term ladies and gentlemen, you immediately thought about how exclusionary it is, then it's probably best you turn this off now.
I'm out, man.
Yeah,
I'm done. That's more penis than I've seen in almost 25 years or something like that. So I am. I'm all out, lads.
Hello, welcome to Dead Men Talking with me, Rob Mulholland.
And me, Freddie Quinn.
And a new studio!
Hey, new studio!
Yeah, we're in a fucking studio. It's good, isn't it?
Look at this. Mate, the amount of hours that I spent making this perfect for both
Freddie
of us.
Freddie did literally nothing.
I did literally everything.
I did the entire.
I did so many things. If you're watching this right now, You can see the yellowness on this wall.
Yeah.
Particularly the second coat of yellow really stands out.
Yeah. Freddie did do really one coat badly, and then I wouldn't let him paint anything else because he didn't wash the brushes. Left the paint open as well. Didn't even close the tin.
Also, I felt like I closed the tin, but
He didn't close the tin at all.
I did close it.
You didn't.
I put the tin
lid. You put the lid on it.
Yes.
That's not closed, is it?
Yes.
It's like near to being closed.
Yeah, because tin lids are a fucking nightmare to get open, aren't they?
Yeah, because they're sealed.
Yeah.
But also it's a nightmare when paint is dry.
What I'm hearing is, you're welcome. Also, you might not be able to see this on the actual film, but there is a bar that is integral to the structure of this podcast.
Sure.
That I helped with.
You held it a bit while I put it up, yeah.
Correct. And Rob said that without me, that just would never have happened.
Well, no, I would have just got someone else to hold
never be able to sort it out.
It's hard to do with one person. He said, but it could have been literally anyone else.
I don't know what I would do without you.
You stood on a little footstool and nearly broke it, didn't you?
Yeah,
it did start making cracking noises while he was stood on it. It was fucking amazing.
Shut up. Also, there's a television that I helped with.
Yeah, you held that for a bit. It turns out I didn't need it.
No, you didn't.
I just did it by myself afterwards. It was easier.
You were there.
We've also got there's some other news in the studio. We've got editor Sam's over here. Shout hello.
Hello.
There we go. He's over there. He's come to visit us.
Oh.
And we've got a new member of the Dead Men Talking family.
Yeah, it was looking a little bit straight white male.
Hey, we're all about the diversity.
Well, we were like, which diversity are we?
Is the least diverse.
Yeah, exactly.
Which ones are we least disgusted by?
Yeah. And
we couldn't get them, so we got a gay. We've got Dave. Hello.
Hello.
I'm your producer.
Hello.
Yes. Literally, you've gone like one step down the hierarchy. That's it.
Yeah. You know, like we've still got a white man.
Yeah.
Who just, you
still,
know,
still better than have a word.
So you know, so yeah, Dave's going to be running the scenes behind. Running things behind the scenes, God, making everything work.
So straight white man. Yeah. More like have a bird.
So as you can see, the quality of jokes hasn't improved in the new studio, right? Like we're still the same cunts, just in a nicer environment, innit?
Yeah, exactly. We've moved up a little bit.
I want to say, like, forgive us a slight bit of sincerity for once. Thank you to the Patreons for paying for this, you know?
Yeah, so genuinely, without Patreon money, none of this would be possible.
I'm not spending my money on this shit.
No, I know. But even if we wanted to, we just wouldn't physically be able to.
So, yeah, thank you. And if you want to join the Patreons, join the Army of the Dead, get involved in the gang. It's £3 a month over at patreon.com/deadmentalkpod.
Totally. And this is what accumulation of £3 a month looks like.
This is it. It all adds up.
Staff, fucking wallpaper and lighting.
That's
and...
not wallpaper. I painted those stripes. I want that clear.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. I painted them. Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you, mate.
Very good job.
Cheers.
Was that with the spirit level that I drove with you to buy?
Oh, yeah. That was Freddie's. Yeah, Freddie did big assist on that, actually. Yeah, Freddie did drive with me.
Very well.
To buy a spirit level.
I also helped to bring one of these Chesterfields upstairs.
He did and was so out of breath afterwards.
I'll tell you what I have fucking done, right?
Which all right, here we go.
Which is more effort and work than anything that you've put in.
Here we go.
The intercom, when you press it,
my
phone rings.
Yeah.
So for it was amazing. How many delivery drivers I've had to deal with that clueless.
Yeah.
Absolutely clueless.
Because when our landlord was like,
"Hello, I'm here at door. I'm at door." Right. Okay. Can you drop
that's
it off?
That's a Bolton accent. That.
Can you drop it off? Yeah. It's Peter Kay. He does. Garlic bread. Put
garlic naan.
Booked it. Backed it. Blew up the airport. Right.
fuck's sake. So, what happened was when our landlord was like, "Look, right, we need a number for the buzzer. It'll go
taxi
to one of your phones." I just went silent and looked at Freddie. I was just like, "I'm not taking that."
Been busy.
So.
What time you want to?
We should say we do have a postal address. People can post us shit. Someone's already sent us a Bernard Manning video, which is class. If you want to send us stuff, we've got an address.
What's the address, Rob?
So it's Dead Men Studios, Suite 3.
Well, actually, here's a fun thing.
Oh, yeah.
We asked them to call it Dead Men Talking, and they misheard us, and so it's Dead Men Walking.
Yeah, it just says like Dead Men Walking, no pun on the. I'm going to change.
Yeah, it's
that
a hiking podcast.
Yeah. But so
we're retracing. We're trying to find that missing kid on the moors.
We sent Freddie off like a basset hound. We just get some of their underwear, and he just scuttles off into the heather. I smell innocence.
I smell innocence.
Yeah.
Fuck me. That's one of the darkest things you've ever said.
This is the fucking... I'm trying to get the address out. So,
right. I smell innocence.
So, if you want to post us anything, I hope, hopefully through the magic of editing, this will come up on the screen as well. It's Dead Men Studios, Suite 3, 29 Lee Lane, Horwich. Which is Norwich with a H. It's BL67AY is the postcode.
You ain't got no alibi.
You're Horwich.
Not Norwich.
You're Horwich. No, it's...
we got all sassy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Gay Dave.
Gay
He's
Dave.
Only been here
yeah.
7 minutes yeah. and already we've got sass in us.
I brought in the sass, haven't I? That's
yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah.
That's what you got me in for.
This is it. Yeah. We're going to be breaking out into song in the next episode.
We'll do a musical episode. That'd be nice.
Perfect. Sounds good to me.
So,
shall we just get into this episode? This intro has been the longest one we've ever done.
Yeah, because
we are
excited.
Showing off the new studio. You know,
we're
you can have a little look. It's
nice. Yeah, it's with Susie McCabe. Yeah. Absolute.
Cracking stand-up, yeah.
She's bloody really good at comedy.
Yeah, she's on at the Edinburgh Fringe as well if you're up there this year, so go check her out. She told us the details, but I've forgotten them. Just Google it.
Yeah, she's great. Let's watch it.
Okay, magic of editing.
Hey, look, we're in a new studio. Holy shit, and we've got our first guest in the new studio. It is none other than Susie McCabe!
Susie McCabe!
Nice. Honestly, I feel like the queen.
You feel like the queen.
Like, you're the first, and I'm like, the first person, amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if the queen's ever sat in front of a picture of a prolapse before.
Probably has. After what we've discovered with her so nice, she probably to be fair, has.
Andrew's probably caused a few. Check that fucking hard drive.
Do you reckon, like, a really disappointed parent has brought a kid round? You know, like, look what your son's done to my daughter. It's just a prolapse.
Chapping the door. It's your mum at home. My daughter's prolapsed.
Oh, well, we started strong.
How do you know it was my son? There's a fucking HRH waxwork sticker embedded
like you get
into
on the
her
side
ass.
Of a jar of jam. Ass enjoyed by his Royal Highness. Well, he's not his Highness anymore, is he? He's out. He's not officially a royal.
No. He's
still officially a pedo.
Yeah. Well, no, he's officially an innocent man, isn't he?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, you pay enough money, you get off now, isn't it?
Isn't it funny how the £12 million that was paid off to her, and then you imagine probably what £2 million in lawyer fees.
Yeah.
And then the Queen's got a deficit of £14.5 million. Remember that came out? Yeah. And you're like, I don't know how that deficit happened.
Yeah, where's that come from?
It's weird.
It's a shocker, that,
and
isn't
you'd
it?
Think she'd get an envelope with a couple of quid in it, you know, because her jubilee, isn't it? So just like she's opening up cards with her face.
She hasn't got a nana to give her 50 quid in a card, though. That's the thing.
The royal family are run like Barcelona. You know? Just more and more allegations that they're paying out at the
what,
same
they're
time.
They're going to somehow sign the most promising young royal from the Holland royal family, even though they're mad in debt.
Just lost one of their star players. He's went to California All-Stars or something.
So I wanted to talk about today.
Yeah.
Comedy.
All right.
You know, comedy has been leashed for
many
years.
Yeah, it's been leashed up. It's been
on a leash, and we've all been safe.
Like a little junkyard dog. It's been strapped to a rusty old car.
Because if you unleash comedy, chaos ensues.
You won't be able to go out on the streets for all the club sets everywhere.
Men will start after carrying rape whistles. That's how scary it'll be, you know.
Honestly.
So comedy unleashed have broken the internet almost.
Yeah, well, our little bubble of the internet
our little
full
bubble
of comedians.
Of the internet.
We've got to remember, this isn't the world. It's our fucking mates.
So many people have got so upset about them uploading. Basically, they're touring. They're doing their own. At the moment, they're a night in London once a month. And
it's like a free speech comedy night is how they phrase it. So like, as soon as you put the words free speech on anything nowadays, though, you attract a lot of cunts. Like, just
do you know
happens.
What? We should market free speech yogurt.
Just I don't know. Yogurt, it sounds off. Like, of all the products, yogurt is not one I'd
really?
Want free speech.
Hey, are you tired of woke lefties?
Yeah. But that's where it's getting to. You know, you have like woke tea brands, then you have the anti-woke tea brands. And it's like, well, I'm not buying that one.
LGBT.
There we go.
PG tips. Yeah. Ah, fucked it
you
up.
You totally fucked it. Should have just stopped at LGBT. You should have just stopped there.
Oh,
you were done.
Yeah.
Already had tea.
Fuck. Anyway, right. The point being is, what do you think about it?
The Comedy Unleashed thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's a bit daft, like the whole thing. Like, firstly, like, comedy is not leashed. You know, you can do what you want in a comedy club as long as you're funny. But then it's also like the reaction to it's like, just chill out a bit, isn't it? It's just some people doing some jokes.
Aye, that's it. Like, everyone's just so uptight, man. It's like everyone's just been snorting Red Bull for the past 5 years.
This is it.
And they're just like, oh, I need to see this stuff, and you're starting. I'm like, no one is stopping you from saying anything.
Well, this is it. I think this podcast, if anything, proves that, you know, that whole thing of you can't say anything anymore. It's bollocks. We do all the time.
Like, listen, I'm a great believer in you can say what you want, but you've got to take responsibility for what comes out your mouth as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you are going to go and stand in a club set and do 15 minutes of misogynist material or racist material.
I've got a lot more than 15.
I've seen it, mate. I've seen it. And to be honest, a lot of those are reworked jokes. Just, you know,
hey, whoa. Hey, whoa. Look, I will not have you saying my racist jokes are hack.
I'm just saying. But you know, like, if you want to say that stuff, on your own head be it as well. Like, you've got to be bold enough to accept the criticism, because what I've noticed is that the people are going, oh, it's free speech and because I can't say this in a normal comedy club. Well, you can say it. Chances are you won't get booked again because quite a lot of the audience just didn't want to hear what you were saying.
Yeah.
And it maybe wasn't funny.
Yeah.
But do you know what? If you want to say it, say it. But don't then be offended when people are offended.
This is it. You got to understand you're doing that.
If you're all double down in that, aren't they? They're like, you're offended at my free speech. And you're like, mate, I just found that a bit homophobic. And I also found that a bit misogynist. Or I found that a bit transphobic. Or I found that a bit racist. What do you mean you found it? That's your problem. No, because I didn't say it.
Yeah.
You said it. So you take responsibility for what you say. And if you don't like other people A, disagreeing with you or being offended by it, well, you have to learn to live with that. You've got to take that on. Like, I do a joke about my mum's cancer, right? And I spoke to my mum about it before I done the joke. And see, when you say cancer in a comedy club, man,
it's one of the biggest, hard words. Like, as soon as they hear that word, it shuts it down.
It's like Pavlovian.
Tenses up. Like, the whole room just tenses, right? And as soon as you hear that and you go, right, and I knew that that's what was going to happen. So I have that bit. And then I talk about my dad. My dad's now an amputee, right? And I talk about that. And he's had various heart issues. And I talk about the two of them being, you know, ill and having serious health issues.
Yeah.
And the joke is that I say, and they've lived through a global pandemic and they've lived through all those health issues. And all I'm thinking is, I'm never going to get that house.
Right? Yeah.
So there's the gag. But then, on the follow-up of that, I'll say, it's like being the parent. It's like being the child of two Avengers.
Right.
So suddenly you've escalated them into being the hero.
Yeah.
Right?
Although I don't think like being one-legged is a good superpower, to be honest with you. You're going to hop into a crime scene.
If you've lived through all that, he's not one-legged. He's just one and a half-legged.
Right, okay. I apologise. I didn't mean to
a wee bit disabled.
Remove his half a leg.
Yeah, see, your leash is well and truly off, right?
Rob, come here. Let me put that leash.
Sorry, I'll get back on.
There you go.
And then the other side of that joke is me going, you know how they say two positives make a negative? I'm the negative. So the whole structure of that joke is laughing at something that's awful and serious and terrible to making them the heroes to making you the idiot.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, and then see, by the end of that, everyone is so relaxed. They're laughing. It's fine. Yeah. You move on, right? No one has ever said to me that they are offended by that joke. But when you're giving it the big, this is free speech comedy, so, you know, there used to only be two genders. Oh, shut up. It's so tiring.
So I do a lot of, like, you know, stuff on the edge, on the line, but I enjoy that dance. And I'm aware some people aren't going to enjoy it, and that's fucking fine.
Yeah,
you know, if you're doing that, you've got to be aware that not everyone's going to love it, and you can't be upset when people who aren't going to like it don't like it.
So the thing is the thing that always gets bandied about is, you know, you can't have freedom of speech without freedom of consequence, right? And I understand and get that, but a consequence has to be proportional, right?
Yeah.
And I think what a really proportional a consequence is that if you have gone to a comedy club and you are watching somebody who you find offensive, is to leave.
Yeah.
To go.
I never have a go at someone leaving
even
quietly.
Just, like, go out and have a cigarette. And
exactly.
Finish.
Come back in for the next act.
I've had it before where people have told me that they've left on several occasions. They've told me that they've left during my set because they found it offensive. I said, well, thank you. You weren't enjoying it. I wasn't going to change. And so you made an adult decision to leave. And then you've told me you didn't like it. And then that's what adults do.
Yeah.
I don't think it's acceptable to go on stage and start assaulting people. But
the show for other people. But these are really rare occasions.
I mean, all I think with Comedy Unleashed is that it's just really clever advertising.
It's just marketing, isn't
it? Because it reminds me of, you know, when you go Alton Towers or whatever and they got Nemesis and they go, oh, you better not ride this. It's going to be really scary.
It's like the content warning at the start of our episodes. We put a content warning at the beginning, like, to be like, hey, it's going to be a bit naughty. It's more for the people who enjoy it than the people who won't.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah. I remember when Frankie Boyle done Tramadol Nights.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember being in the audience the first time he done that joke about Katie Price and Harvey. In the cage fighter.
Oh, yes,
what was
I remember
the joke
that.
Again? I can't remember.
So the joke is that he had a theory that the only reason that Katie Price married a cage fighter was that he needed someone strong enough to stop Harvey from raping her.
Right.
That was the bit, which is fucking hell.
It's strong.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember watching Jim Jefferies in 2008, maybe, and he had a joke about Harvey Price where I can't remember it word for word, But he said, I bet Katie has a big advent calendar counting down the days until he dies. Or something like that.
Jesus.
With like a chocolate Harvey at the end on like an IV or something like that. It was fucking so brutal. Like, yeah. It was so brutal.
When that joke, so that was getting recorded for television. And when that joke went, so I was sat in the studio watching this as a member of the audience. Half the room went, well, the whole room actually went and collectively breathed in as one, and then half the room laughed.
Yeah.
And the other half of the room didn't.
And this is half of people who've come to see a Frankie Boyle taping. So yeah. That's how you know it's fucking strong gear.
Yeah. But also, you're sitting, you're going, so is that misogynist? You know, is there sexual violence in that joke? Is it disablest? Right? Yeah. Is it all these things? Yeah, it probably is, right? And then let's look at the subject matter here. Has at that time that joke went out, did Katie Price manipulate her son for television?
Hard to argue, no.
Right? Yeah.
So it is mad, isn't it, that whenever she gets a drink driving charge, a week later, just kind of wheels him out and goes... Right. Right.
So it's one of the ones where you go... That was a really harsh joke. It was a football analogy. It was two-footed through the knee.
Yeah.
Great season.
It was keen on
injury.
Alfinger Haaland.
Totally, 100%.
No VAR on that joke.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're going, well, is it right that he makes that joke about a woman who does this? Mm-hmm. Probably not. Is it right that she does that? Probably not. Can he say that? Aye, he can.
Seems like he has done.
Right?
Yeah.
And can she live her life the way she wants to? Yes, she can. So whatever perspective you're coming from, it's not a great side to be fighting for or against.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But either way, you can still go, as an actual joke, take away the content, but the structure of that joke is
it's a funny joke. It makes me laugh. You know, like, I enjoy jokes that bypass my morality.
Yeah.
Like I think some people completely separate jokes and reality, and some people see them as intertwined. And those two things can never be. You can never reconcile those two points of view. Like, I see jokes as just funny words. They're just collections of things that don't actually mean anything. But for some people, they're like, no, there's meaning in it and all that.
So so I'm a storyteller.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tell stories, and I only tell you about things that have happened to me, or things that I've done, or my points of view. So when I'm telling you that, there is an there is truth in it. There's more truth than there is embellishment, with a bit of embellishment, whereas you'll probably embellish with a very small bit of
truth.
Well,
this is it. Like, my opinions on stage are whatever's funniest. Like, it's, you know, that's literally it. That's how I choose what my opinion's going to be, right? There's not really any other consideration. Apart from, like, you know, is it original? Is it going against what other people are doing? But, like, I don't have to, like, I've do a lot of stuff.
Have you done Comedy Unleashed?
No, I haven't.
Have you done it?
No.
They haven't asked. I would do it if I was in London.
I have.
Yeah.
So I did it in January.
Fucking hell, they must have had a big leash to get off you. Get the fucking Doberman one.
I had one of those spike collars.
Yeah.
So I did it. They pay really well, and it was a Tuesday, and I was down in London anyway. And so it was like, yeah, fine, okay. I did the exact same set that I'd done at Brighton Comedian.
Everyone always
the
does.
Previous
yeah.
weekend. Not a word changed. And I did the same thing on the following Tuesday. Now, they're an audience full of people, and it is fucking rammed. Mm-hmm. They're an audience full of people that like really dark humour, and that's what I sort of specialise in. So I was like, this is a piece of piss for me. I had a really good gig. I actually... Weirdly enough, ended up on that Radio 4 series off the back of it. You know that Radio 4 series that they were doing?
So funny that you've been on Radio 4.
Yeah, it's fucking mental. Yeah. Absolutely mental. And I listened to it as well out of morbid curiosity, and it was dreadful. I can't remember, what was this? It was called something like, something stupid like, you know.
You can't say anything anymore.
Edginess, like, some stupid shit. But a guy came up to me afterwards and he was like, hey, I'm recording for Radio 4. Can we use your set? And I went, how much are you going to pay me? And they went, 150 quid. And I went, yeah, go ahead. Just took it off them. But here's the thing, is I hated the gig. I hated it. Yeah. Because my whole thing is that I want to find what your line is, and then I want to take a little toe over the line, and then I want to put maybe a foot over the line and just see how it feels. Oh, and then I want to go back over again. Yeah. I don't like it when people are like, there is no line. There is no line. Be racist. Say all of the words that we don't like.
Our tour next year is going to be rough then.
But it is, though, isn't it? It is that thing as well that there's boundary pushing. Like some of the stuff, like the jokes that Jimmy Carr have done, like people have got, you know, got up and left and whatever else. But like, you've got to bear in mind, that's a character.
Yeah,
it's like Frankie's essentially a character.
Yeah, like Jimmy Carr's just like a machine for jokes. It's just like there's no morality or thought behind it apart from, is this a funny sentence?
But he's also got that kind of like American Psycho kind of it would take a sociopath to kind of say this.
He does look like a deep fake video, doesn't he, Jimmy Carr?
You know what
I mean? Like, it doesn't quite scan. Yeah.
But if he, you know, and people who are going to see that are going to see it, like, equally Sadowitz. Like, you go into a Sadowitz audience, like, so there could be the three of us could walk in three different parts of that theatre, and you could really enjoy it, and you could really enjoy it, and I could get up and walk out within 5 minutes, because I could be like, I'm not having that.
Yeah.
But then, actually, if you stay and you watch the end of the show, he could bring it back.
I mean, it's Sadowitz, so he probably won't. Probably just keep diving further.
But what, and like, you will have the most lefty lefties in that audience and the most right rights. So where's the middle with that? Like, who are you playing to? Whereas I know, like, I'm an everyman. Like, I'm a very much a, I'll go out, I'll tell jokes, I'll make you laugh, I'll tell you funny stories, I'll talk to you about my mum, I'll talk to you about this, talk to you about that. And at no point will you really ever be offended.
Yeah. I mean?
But at the same time, if you like to push the line and do that stuff, you should be allowed to do it, as long as you're willing to take the responsibility.
This is it.
My problem with some of that, with some of the lineup on that, is I'm very much everyone, every stand-up comedian, you've been in the house for the best part of 2 years, go and do whatever gigs you want, right?
Yeah.
If you want to put your name to that, that's up to you. It's like putting your name to a venue at the Fringe, It's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
Do what you want, and I'm not going to judge you. But it's when there's non-comedians on it, like, you know, that Count Dankula.
Well, funny you should say.
So, he used to serve me in Coatbridge Tesco.
Amazing.
I remember when he was younger.
That's where he should be. If the police hadn't got involved, that's where he'd still be.
Excuse me, mate, where's the free speech yogurt?
Yeah.
Mate, we've got two types of bread in Scotland, plain and pan. What one's I'll be the pan. It's very white. Yeah. It's there's no brown option.
But yeah, that so that Dankula, right? So I got booked to do a roast of Count Dankula the other week.
As did we both.
Yeah. So
we pulled out.
Yeah.
You should have seen the guest list.
Yeah. But right, so like,
I need to know this guest list. So, I need to know this.
Oh no, I can tell you a few. There's like Lawrence Fox. There was
Darren Grimes.
Darren Grimes. Donald Trump's former advisor was one of them.
Those two kind of sexy UKIP twins.
Yeah, they were there. Gerald Batten. It was all I said it was a slightly more right wing guest list than the Nuremberg trials.
Literally digging up Thatcher's corpse.
So we messaged because I'm not really politically engaged to the point where I know who all these fucking asswipes are. So we messaged Sam Gore, who's a friend of the show and also much more politically astute than us. And he was like, it's a who's who of like right-wing weirdos.
So I got ill, so I like, I bailed, so I like, but I was like, I still want to call these people cunts. I was really excited, I was looking forward to it. So I sent them a video message. So I just videoed my roast to send in.
Oh, that Sargon of Arkad, he was
there. He was there. Fucking, he's a turd.
Wow.
He got no fun jokes. I was just like, you should just kill yourself.
I'd written one joke.
Yeah, don't repeat it, it's awful.
Kind of not.
No, it's just not even good. So like, it was just bad. So, but yeah, I filmed this thing, right? Then, so it's at Backyard Comedy, you know, like the Free Speech Comedy Club, all this. The producer didn't play my video because it was too offensive.
Wow.
Genuinely true. I got told
afterwards
they didn't play it because it was too offensive. For the free speech comedy roast, I'm like, I'm sure.
But this is exactly the point,
exactly,
isn't it?
Fucking like, hypocrites.
Like, it's the whole, I'm going to say what I want to say. Okay, say it.
Yeah.
Right. But don't you be moaning at me and don't you be saying anything offensive to me. Well,
at a roast.
Mate, you can't decide to turn up at five sides and make the opposition playing full size goals.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean?
Yeah.
And you've got 11 players and we've got five. Yeah.
He had one joke about Lawrence Fox and Leo Kirsty.
Oh, I was pleased with this one.
You know, the political party thing. Yeah.
Oh, I said it was the least successful party since the one in Barrymore's pool. So, like, I'm gonna put the video up online. I'm gonna put it out on YouTube and just be like, you know, because like the thing is, I'm sure none of the attendees would have minded. They've gone to a fucking roast. I'm sure Dankula's not going to complain. They're the fucking Nazi dog guy. But it's just the producers of it being fannies.
Do you know who else is doing the tour? Titania McGrath.
Yeah.
Who is Andrew Doyle's fake Twitter character?
Yeah.
That does now. I've actually done the tour support for Titania McGrath, which again was it was an audience full of people that like my sense of humour, but I really didn't enjoy it because I'd say certain things and they would be like,
yeah.
You know, like they'd be laughing at the idea that I was about to make a joke out of something. And it's like, don't fucking laugh at the setup because you don't like that sort of person.
Yeah.
Just shut up and listen to the punchline. Stop anticipating it's... Oh, fucking... Anyway, so I watched the show because I was really keen to see how a fake Twitter person does an hour-long comedy show, right? And what it is, basically, is there's an actress that he's paid and coached and got to deliver the set, right? She's not very good at delivering stand-up. She delivers stand-up like an actress would, right? Yeah. But, to be fair, I watched the whole hour. Some of the hour is fucking excellent. There were a couple of jokes where I was like, fuck me.
Doyle's a good joke,
That's genius. That's really, really good. However, when it was good. But when it was bad, fuck me, was it dreadful.
Yeah.
It was so dreadful. So I remember one bit that I found in really bad taste, and it was...
Fucking hell, when Freddie Quinn is calling out you for bad taste, you've really fucked it.
Just because I thought it was lazy, right? Is it was something...
You love lazy, though.
It was something about... It was something about... Not when it's 25 quid a ticket. I don't love it then.
Right.
It was something about Meghan Markle's kid, right? And
see, honestly, already I'm just like,
They'd PowerPointed, like,
of course they had a PowerPoint.
Yeah. Oh, you're fucking edgy Dave Gorman, are you?
But they'd PowerPointed in like a spliff and like a,
you don't mean PowerPoint.
What do I mean?
Photoshop.
No. Like it did a Microsoft PowerPoint.
Did an animation.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't PowerPoint.
All right, okay. Yeah. Fucking
go through a little slideshow. Either way,
they're still using
bringing up a little pie chart.
Doing a podcast with the Adobe Cloud Suite. I'm sorry,
they're still using something that's not just street stand-up.
Yeah, and a little spliff came across, and
you're
some
a
little,
prop comic at that point.
Some little glasses, you know those thug life.
Yeah,
glasses.
It's the thug life thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, oh dear God. And then there was other bits as well where she'd start improvising beat poetry. But the beat poetry was really bad. But I didn't know that it was part of the character. Yeah. So I didn't know that the character was meant to be some sort of beat poet type. So she like, there was one called I Am Womexen.
Yeah.
And it was like woman, but with the X instead of the A or whatever. And it went on for about 7 minutes. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're not fucking Purple Rain. Can you wind it in a bit?
Just like, see... It's just that, it's like that whole, you just know that they're going to go in like Meghan Markle, and you're like, who cares? Who cares enough about the royal family to even care about Meghan Markle? Right, like this is...
Well, half of your city.
Well, not my
not
half.
That I get, yeah. Not that my, I want to wade into half, that particular beef.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I just go, I look at people and I'm like, what, like, seriously, is that what's upsetting you? Like, we've got more food banks than McDonald's. Yeah. Like, branches of we've got more food
so
banks
you don't need
than
to pay for food anymore.
Of McDonald's.
Yeah.
That they're just sitting and they're going, oh, yeah, that Meghan Markle, let's get in about her. And you're like, really? Oh, yeah, the trans thing. You're like, do you know, like use it for something good. Try and use your voice for something
good. I've got a banging trans bit at the moment. Like, it's... I don't want to spoil anything, but it's going very much counter to the traditional. You know, it's that, like, it's a I think I've got a different
I've seen
angle.
It. It's the one where you retch for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Dreadful.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely
go,
dreadful. You start going like that. I think it's regressive.
Yeah. I genuinely.
Well, I managed to find a bit where it's very positive, but it sounds like I'm going to be horrible for the whole thing, but then I'm relentlessly pro.
It's that way, like, I looked at that poster where I was like, quite a lot of just like straight white guys just telling me that, you know, the world's really tough for them now because they're not.
Hey, look,
to see
it
stuff.
Is for us comparatively. We have had quite a fall from grace, right? In the 70s, you could openly
grace,
be a paedophile.
You see,
right?
Grace.
All right, grace is wrong, grace. But you know, we could openly nonce. My granddad has never said thank you for a cup of tea in his life, right? We have to, like, pitch in and do shit now. Right?
Doesn't even know
the exactly.
Kitchen is in his
exactly.
own house.
And I see how good he had it. And now I've got to, like, do my own washing and shit. It's bullshit, mate. And you don't know what it's like for
us. He gets to fuck kids and have tea on demand. What a lifestyle.
But I mean, to be clear, he could, but he didn't. He had the option, but he didn't take it.
But then I also love, like, the modern man that's like, I had my. I had my kid at Bouncing Rhyme today because I'm on the babysitting duties and you're like, it's your own fucking child.
Oh, I can't wait to do that. I'm going to be a fuck. Like, as soon as I've got a kid, I'm going to be like scooping up the hero dad fucking status. I'm going to have him on a papoose being I'm dead sensitive.
I love that whole thing with guys who are like dads now and they're just like, I'm such a good dad.
Yeah, sounds nice.
And you're like...
Rob's dad walked out on him when he was 15.
Three.
Yeah. And 50. Then again,
didn't give it that long.
He had his granddad, though.
Yeah.
And what a role model he sounds like. Yeah. The guy doesn't even know where the kitchen is. He's an absolute hero of
mine. No, he knows where it is. He shouts into it. He knows where to shout to demand things.
Yeah, him on at Comedy Unleashed, man. He's a guy for that. Yeah. He's a guy for that gig.
To be fair, once took him to Wagamama's and he was so angry for the entire... It's like, why are they bringing it now? Where's the rest of it? And it's like, this is just how they do it. He's like, oh, bloody hell. He was like, is there anything that ain't foreign? I was like, no, it's Wagamama's,
mate. Wagamama's?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do
it's pretty
burgers.
Much all noodles.
My dad still looks at pizza with suspicion.
Pizza? It's the ultimate pleb food.
He's like, oh, no. Just chicken. Get some chicken.
I've never heard of anyone being like pizza is too much.
Pizza, so, pasta. My dad just wouldn't eat pasta.
Wow.
Not in a kind of racist way. He's just like,
get out of here, you spaghetti muncher.
So, I just like, you know,
my dad is a big connoisseur of foreign foods, right? Yeah. But what he'll
doesn't surprise me. Your dad eats a lot.
What he'll do is, as a way of sort of saying how good the place was, he'll say, "I'll tell you what, there was a lot of them in." Tell you what, there was a lot of them in
all
as
right,
well.
But right, to be fair to your dad, is that not a way you judge restaurants a bit? Like, if I walk past a Chinese restaurant, there's a lot of like Chinese people in it. I'm like, that's the fucking.
No,
good
I think
one.
I think there's.
It's mad. Isn't it? It's
like
mad.
I get my shawarma in Levy where all the Asian people get it because it's the best one.
Yeah,
you know.
I was in Belfast a few weeks ago. I was at the Empire in Belfast, and I was walking down the street. So it'd been It's the first time I'd been in Belfast in maybe 3 years, right? So I walked down for the Europa bus station, and I went past a bit of spare ground, and there was loads of young kids with the wooden pallets. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's June, it's nearly July. And then
So they do the big fire.
Do the big bonfire.
Yeah.
And then
what?
So it's a big bonfire. It's like,
it's
Susie
July the
12th.
So it's like July the 12th. 12th of July, they celebrate the Battle of the Boyne at midnight on the 11th and the 12th. And they set
that's why it's in your Google calendar.
Oh, that's the fuck. Right, okay.
Right. And then I was walking down the road and there was all these shops and it was all these restaurants. It was like Vietnamese dumplings, teppanyaki. It's a real student area where the Empire is. So loads of kind of Asian fusion street food type places. And I looked across the road and the whole street was decked in Union Jack bunting with massive 20-foot Union Jack flags. And I was like, oh, never change Belfast, never change it. No, you're still celebrating a battle from 400 years ago. But meanwhile, you're sitting here with multicultural, any type of food in the world in a whole street you can just go and get, but yous are like, aye, but remember the Battle of the Boyne.
Yeah, I just love the idea that there's two takeaway workers looking at each other and they go, I tell you what, I don't think we'll sell much kimchi tonight.
Yeah.
Totally.
Get the omelettes out.
Totally.
Yeah. Do you know how to make shepherd's pie?
Yeah. It's like the little bit at the end of a Chinese menu. There's always like a Chinese restaurant. There's always like chicken nuggets or omelette just at the end. If you've got like an awkward one with you.
Yeah. I
would judge someone so harshly for ordering that. If I was with someone who ordered an omelette from
a Chinese, I'd be
furious.
It's the adult autism children's menu, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. If they're autistic, I'll give them a pass. All right. If they've got headphones on when they're wandering in, they're allowed an omelette.
I used to work for a guy, you know, on a works night out. We went to a Chinese and he ordered a steak because he doesn't like Chinese food, and he still has never eaten like a pepper, like a sweet pepper.
Jesus.
What?
Because he's like, it'll be hot, and I'm like, no, it's sweet.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, and like, he was married at the time, and he'd like two kids, and they would all sit and eat fajitas, and he would just have chicken.
So, I mean, well, Phil Ellis is one of them. He just eats like no veg, and it's like, you're a fucking adult now.
I mean, like, I feel like I can't comment too much on this either.
Well, no, but like, your things are just like baked beans. You eat some veg, don't you?
No, not really.
Oh, right. I thought
so. I've never eaten baked beans in my life.
Yeah. Right.
2,000 Patreons is doing it.
Strawberries, can't go near them.
What the fuck are you on about?
I don't know.
You can't have a strawberry is a delicious treat.
I've not had a strawberry.
It's nature's finest bounty.
I've not had a strawberry since I was about 13.
Why? That's fucking amazing.
Because I was eating a strawberry and then it popped.
And he got raped. Just like, it would put you off. It would put you off.
I know, but it smelled amazing.
So you were eating a strawberry.
I was eating a strawberry. Same reason I can't
walking
use
past a bush.
Same reason I can't use herbal essences shampoo from now on.
You're so young. It was Vosine back in my day.
So I was eating a strawberry, right, and a little thing popped into my head, and I thought, hey, this is exactly what eating a tumour would be like.
What are you on about?
And ever since then, I've associated eating a strawberry with, like, biting into a big, juicy tumour.
Well, like, ironically, eating some fruit might stop you getting a massive tumour.
it just kills me. And I know that it's so...
So nice.
I know that it doesn't make any sense. I know it's illogical, but I can't...
Do you eat strawberry flavour sweets?
Yes. I also have strawberry jizz on my ice cream.
Right.
You know, the...
Yeah, strawberry sauce.
So I can eat scrambled eggs and hard-boiled eggs, but I can't eat a fried egg unless the yolk is hard.
My missus is like that.
I can't deal with yolk.
She hates a runny yolk, and that's the fucking best bit. Why is every comedian weird about food?
I can't deal with touching anything. It's like beans. I can't deal with beans.
Have you spoken to Mick Ferry about this? Mick Ferry has a thing where he likes beans and he likes egg, but seeing beans touching egg makes him wretch. Mm. It gives him like a physical reaction. Mm-hmm. You two need to hang out and go to cafes and annoy the staff.
So how about this? I was making... one time, my other half went out with her boss from work, right? Uh-huh. And her boss stayed the night at ours. And the next day, I was cooking breakfast.
You made breakfast for them in the morning, you little cock.
What?
You little cock. You're cooking breakfast, not cooking it. You were cooking it.
Oh, C-U-C-K.
Yeah.
So when are you doing the Comedy Unleashed tour?
Right. Get me out there. Unleash me. I'm ready to go. I'm chomping at the bit.
Get your leash back on.
You see comedy quite loosely applied to that joke there, isn't it? Like.
So
it still counts if it's an attempt.
So, it was a shot off target, wasn't it?
Off target, it was fucking out the stadium.
So anyway, right, I'm making breakfast. Yeah, try and make a joke out of that, you fat prick.
I'm not fat though, am I? That's you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're fat on the inside.
Right.
So I'm making breakfast, and I'm good at making breakfast. That's my one of my favourite things to make, mm-hmm. right? And scrambled eggs. So my boss, girlfriend's boss, she said, can I get some scrambled eggs? Oh, but no butter. Now, butter is 50% of the ingredients to make scrambled eggs. There are two ingredients to make scrambled eggs. Eggs and butter.
Well, a little bit of milk if you want it fluffier.
No.
A tiny bit
No.
Have you ever tried... So, I seen John Turow do this, right? And this is like scrambled eggs royale.
Yeah.
So, see, when you make... Honestly, this is amazing. So, you can use a creme fraiche.
Oh, I use creme fraiche and chives, yeah.
And chives or sour cream.
Yes.
And chives. But when you put the eggs in, you just let them... Like, you've obviously broke them and they're kind of... You know,
yeah.
The yolks burst and stuff. But you just let it kind of sit for a couple of minutes. You don't stir it all together. Let it sit with the creme fraiche. And then as it starts to do it at the bottom, and then mix it through, and then serve
wait
it with
a minute.
Your chives.
You've got to put the creme fraiche in at the end. You don't put the creme fraiche in at the... That's horrific.
Honestly, it's so good.
So I put the creme fraiche in at the end to cool the egg, basically to stop, because eggs cook like that. What are we talking about?
I know, Jesus fucking Christ.
Still
egg
than
cookery.
His joke.
That's where we've got to, egg cookery.
Still better than his joke.
I know.
Still better. That was terrible. Such a bad porn gag. Not that I know much about porn or gags.
Someone has to be trying to throw out jokes in the middle of these egg recipes, all right? Patreon
is...
No, we're not doing that.
We're
not doing Zip Zap Zorp or whatever it fucking is.
We said this on the last episode.
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
That I made a joke about Chinese people.
Oh, right.
Do
okay.
you remember that?
No, I don't. No. I don't remember anything, mate.
No.
I try and tune you out.
I listen back to all these.
I know you do. I'd get the fear.
And do you know what? When I listen back to them, I go, my God, this is so well done. I'd be happy to pay £3 a month and be the Patreon. See? Back on topic.
Yeah, right over to it.
Look, if you're enjoying Dead Men Talking, then why not become a Patreon of the podcast? It costs all of £3 a month, which is literally fuck all. It's the best value podcast Patreon in the game. Patreon.com.
I mean, I don't know if we can claim that, but you know, /go for it.
Dead Men Talk Pod. And for being a Patreon, you get an extra episode every week. You get access to all the videos on the Dark Room, on the Discord, the sick videos that we watch. You get access to all the extra content that we make. The live roast shows are all on there. Rob's punishment set is on there.
Yeah. When we get to 2,000, Freddie's going to eat baked beans and throw up. It's going to be great.
Honestly, I will get. When we get to 2,000, I will eat some beans.
And
like,
I saw him
sick.
Drinking a milkshake. It was one of the funniest things I've ever fucking seen. It was great.
Oh, yeah, that's on there on a Patreon episode isn't it?
Yeah. If you want to see Freddie really upset by a delicious milkshake, it's like, it's amazing because, like, you would looking at Freddie, expect him to be, you know, having a drip with milkshake on it. But, you know, not a fan, are you?
What, like an IV?
Yeah, an IV. Just hook it to your veins.
Doctor, we need a bag of strawberry stats.
So,
he's going to last the night.
Yeah, he should have some fruit. But yeah, it's Patreon. It's £3. Dead Men Talk Pod. Get on it.
Would you do Comedy Unleashed then if you got asked? You would.
Yeah, probably.
You probably wouldn't.
What if they said? I'm not asked. I mean, I don't know. Like,
what if they said, Susie, £500?
No.
Yeah, it depends on the cash for me. It, like,
per
for me,
minute. Per minute.
Is there a price?
It would just be horrible.
Yeah.
Also, they would hate me.
You reckon?
They would, because I don't do anything. There's no boundary. I'm not trying to push a boundary. I'm just literally telling them funny stories.
But that's what most of it is. Like, most of it is just people doing the fucking club set.
So I watched once, right? I watched Bethany Black do Download, right?
Yeah.
And what she did, she absolutely fucking smashed it.
Yeah, she's a great comic.
What she did is she came on and she was like, you guys, Download. You guys are fucking mental. I'm going to do this next bit. I can't do this bit anywhere else in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she went and did the set that she always does.
Yeah.
And then she was like, after every bit that they loved it, she was like, I fucking love you, Download.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys are so fucking crazy. Yeah. And she fucking annihilated it because they were like, oh, we are so crazy.
Gary Delaney does it every gig. He's like, you guys are so fun. I'm going to do the naughty stuff tonight. And they're like, ooh, we're the fun ones. And it gets you in. It's like a clever way of doing it.
Totally.
You know, a smart
bit
of stagecraft.
This game, stagecraft is all psychology.
Yeah.
100%. Like, I would say that comedy is like, the psychology of comedy is as big as the quality of the writing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That stagecraft, that bringing people in, that how you make everyone feel included. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what?
That's so true.
Because I worked with a lad last night. I can't remember his bloody name. I've not heard of him before. His writing was exceptional.
Yeah.
Such a great little writer. And I was watching, I was like, fucking hell, this kid's really good. Delivered it in a way that made me so upset and angry. Mm-hmm. He delivered it like he was delivering a joke. He was delivering it like it was a stage performance. It was like, nah, man, just be natural.
Just have a chat with him, innit?
The whole thing is that you've got to make it sound like you're you.
Yeah. But everyone starts out one or the other, innit? You're either good at performing or good at writing, and you learn to do the other one.
Aye. And I think it's that thing as well where it's being likeable.
That's part of the battle.
It's being likeable. Yeah. It's like where people will look at you and go, I'd have a pint with you.
And that's how you get away with shit. If you're cheeky and nice and fun, then you can say horrible shit.
And if you were like my husband's mate, I'd go on really well with you and blah, blah, blah. And then like younger comics who are then talking to older audiences as well, you know, that older audiences is looking at them going, oh, he's like my son's pal.
It's that
thing, isn't it? It's that just being dead likeable.
And you can be likeable in different ways as well. You don't have to be the super chirpy, cheeky, there's different ways of doing it. But yeah,
100%.
You have to get them on board, innit? Like, yeah.
But like that, like many times I've stood at a gig and went, that's a great joke, but you could have gave that to any comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I
yeah.
Have ripped the
so often you see an open spot, like most open spots will have like one belting joke. Like every now and again, like I'll see one like that joke is so good, and then the rest of their set will be dog shit. It's just like
I remember a kid who started ages and ages ago. I can't even remember his bloody name. He had one bit that was it made me fucking howl.
Yeah,
it was about getting he delivered it really well. Right, it was about getting a blowjob off his girlfriend. And her not wanting to swallow his cum, but also not wanting to get jizzed on, right? So he's trying to fucking time it at the right time or whatever. And he pulls out, and as he pulls out, he jizzes, and a big glob of jizz just hits her on the head. Sure. And he goes, Simba. I swear to God, fucking finished me every time. Yeah. Simba. The way that he...
Yeah,
mate,
great.
So good. The rest of his set, fucking appalling. Yeah, doesn't do it anymore. That joke died with him.
Yeah, this is it. I feel like on the way out, they should like hand it off to someone. Like the one good joke should go to like, you know, pass it on to another
like
open
a will.
Spot.
Like
then
a
eventually
will.
One of them will have a full set.
Yeah. The thing with open spots as well, though, that I see all the time, it is that like they talk about blowjobs, they talk about set, like they just talk about stuff and you go, you're not sitting with your mates.
You're sitting
in a room like you're now in a comedy club in a city where people have paid £20 to come out tonight, and there's most of those people are over 30.
Yeah.
Right, for a start.
So they've had loads of blowies.
They've had loads of blowies. They've gave loads of blowies, or they couldn't give a fuck about blowies. Do you know what
I mean?
Yeah. And then you're kind of saying to them, you need to try and broaden that, and they just kind of, they keep punching down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then they get into that. And
eventually
kind of,
they start a podcast.
Yeah. And then they also get into that wee world of other open spots. Smashed it, mate.
Yeah, smashed it.
You're like, fucking.
They're too nice to each other. Like, open spots now is what I've noticed. There's too much supportive, nice open mics. So we bring them to our roast and put them back down a peg.
But they're also in a wee gang going, oh, it's us against them. It's us against the establishment. You're like, it's not. It's not, we're all just doing our job because this is what we get paid for.
Yeah.
It's just that you're not here because you're not good enough yet.
Yeah.
So you either choose to go and work, or you choose to just keep sitting with your pals going, smashed it.
I tell you what, I don't know of a single comic that regularly fucking roofs gigs that is out of work every weekend.
Yeah, that's it.
I
like,
just don't know of one.
When you get to like telly level, sure, it's a different thing, but the comedy circuit is pretty meritocratic. If you're not a cunt and you smash gigs, you will work.
Also, as well, like, I mean, I book a few...
And even if you are a cunt and you smash gigs, you'll probably still work quite a lot.
I book a few gigs. My only criteria is, do I think the audience are going to find this funny?
Yeah.
I regularly book acts that I would never watch in a million years myself.
Like
but fuck it. Okay. I'll tell you what.
I know he will.
I'm not asked. Ignacio Lopez.
Right.
Really like him. Think he's dead
funny.
It's not my style of comedy.
Sure.
It's not what I like. I like ruder offensive stuff. Yeah. But if I'm doing a gig and I'm booking a gig at an arts centre, Ignacio's a fucking great comic.
Yeah. Yeah.
He fucking roofs it. Because you've got to be smart enough to go, oh, maybe this is broader than just my own personal taste.
Yeah, that's like many times I've stood like at the back of a comedy club and watched an act and just been like, I have no idea what any of them are laughing at. But do you know what? They're laughing really loud.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And they're loving the daftness. Like my
sometimes
loves...
it upsets me.
What do you mean?
There's some acts where I'm like, they're smashing it, but I'm like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's...
I like, we can all smash it by doing animal noises, mate.
But then there's other
acts. Who's that?
No comment.
Who?
No.
Who does animal noises?
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards. But then there's can't other... be our starting beef.
There's other acts that you stand up the back of the room. Like, I remember one of my first weekends at the Glee. I was on with Mick, Mick Ferry, and I stood up the back of the room and Mick done a callback to one of my jokes in his set, and it was incredible. And you're sitting watching that and you're going, this guy is incredible.
He's pretty fucking good, Mick.
I did a gig about a month ago, right? Woman came up to me after a gig and she said, I really enjoy myself tonight. I've not been comedy in years. She said, last time I went, must have been nearly 10 years ago, we went to the comedy store. She said, oh, there was this guy. She said, big fella, had a big, big belly. She said, came on, he walked on stage, pointed to his belly, and he goes, see that? It's cancer. It's a tumour. And then he just did his set, and it was Mick. I just think that's... what a bold way to start a gig. That's a tumour, that. I've got cancer.
He is. But he's brilliant to watch. Like, I could sit and watch Mick all day, every day, because he's just... It's class.
Mm.
It's class, and it's absolute... Like, it doesn't matter how many times you've seen him, he absolutely skills you in it, and he's always got a new 20.
Yeah.
I love that. I love standing at the back of the room and just seeing somebody who you're like, if we weren't working together, if you came to this city and you came to a theatre and I just liked comedy as a punter and I wasn't a comedian, I would go and pay £25 to sit in a theatre and listen to you for 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah, he just doesn't give a fuck. He's totally fucking uncompromising as well.
Do you
know
what I mean? But he's awesome. And the structure and the setup and everything there is uncompromising. Yeah. But there's another guy who is totally uncompromised, say what he wants, but never once says that his free speech has been taken away.
Oh, my.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just not stuff that Mick would say.
Drives me insane. And do you know what, as totally. Well? Having watched all that, like, on Twitter unfolding, it went a bit viral and people were like, oh, what a dreadful lineup. It's like, most things are quite dreadful lineups nowadays. Yeah. I don't know if any of you saw the comedy tent at Latitude this year. It was hardly wall to wall bangers. Do you know what I mean? Well, like, it's just a lot of life.
On the festivals thing, I did a festival the other week. They beat Herder, my favourite one. I was just trying to find the message we got sent from someone who was there.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I can't remember their name. So whoever it was, if you can find it, that'd be great. But yeah, like they messaged in to say, so I had been on the comedy stage, they had seen me in one of the plastic portable urinals, right? They clocked me.
Showbiz.
Yeah, but this festival is like a fucking rave for 3 days. So everyone's off the tits, right?
Jesus.
So they said they'd been watching me for a while, they'd like watched all my like football stuff, and then they got into this podcast, were a fan of it. But they were on so much ketamine, they couldn't remember my name.
Amazing.
So they stood next to me trying to remember my name while I'm having a piss, right? I don't clock this, obviously. I'm just having a piss. I'm off my tits as well. I wander off, like, out of there. He remembers it and goes, Rob! And starts running after me, shouting my name. Chases me across a field. And only after people started staring at him, realised his dick was still out. So a guy on ketamine chased me across a field screaming my name with his knob out, and I just didn't notice.
To be fair.
So shout out whoever that is. Like, you know, come say hi sometime when you got your dick away.
It's always happening to me. Always happening
to me. People chasing you with a knob out.
Aye. It's tiring.
Barking up the wrong tree.
I'm like, oh, no. My hands are too small.
Hey, you make it look good.
I've got lesbian impotency as it is.
I've got tiny little lesbian hands as well. There you go. Look at who's got bigger. Yeah, look at that.
Wow. Well, I don't know if you'd be allowed in my swimming group. That's what I'm saying.
it's a swimming group called Drowning in Pussy.
Yes. I'm just drowning, I can't actually swim.
I can just imagine him looking me up and down and going, "We'll have the tits.
Those can stay.
The tits can stay. The rest of you, that needs to leave." Oh, man.
But nah, the old free speech thing, nonsense. Anybody can say what they like. Just be prepared to have the respect.
Yeah, you can't say if you want to work on fucking BBC or whatever, you probably can't. But if you want to just take control of your own career, do it on the internet. Say what you fucking want.
My thing, and I've mentioned this before, is that it genuinely pisses me off when people take dark comedy and they link it to freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Because it becomes then a right-wing issue. It becomes this politicized thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm genuinely apolitical. This whole podcast is apolitical. And this is the darkest podcast on the internet, I would say, by some considerable distance.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I'm totally apolitical. I don't use, "Hey, woke snowflake." Oh, behave. Behave. Yeah. I just like saying really dark things because I have a warped sense of humour.
Yeah, this is it. And my dad left when I was three, so now I have to make horrible rape jokes.
Horrible cooking jokes. Yeah, the rape ones are quite good.
Yeah.
See that whole thing, though, like you're saying? Like, it is just people going, "Oh, you know, it's dark." See, when you describe yourself as dark, invariably you're not. You're just doing a wank joke.
Yeah. You've got to get down in the gutter with us showing severed dicks. That's like, dark humour.
If you want to fucking consider yourself dark, be dark.
Yeah.
But, do you know what I mean? But you know, don't just have, you know, two jokes about masturbating and one about coming and think that suddenly you're up there with like Frankie. Do you know what I mean? You're not dark, you're just talking shite.
Yeah.
You know? You're a middle aged old guy that's probably on the brink of
I feel so triggered.
He's not on the brink. I think Freddie is officially pre-diabetic, aren't you? Have you been diagnosed as pre-diabetic?
What are the symptoms?
Or just being a big fat cunt.
Oh, right. Okay, well, then no.
All right, okay. Well, that feels like a failure of the NHS, doesn't it? You show they're really cutting back. Because surely when you walk in the surgery, they go, "Pre-diabetic."
No, they say wait for 12 hours and then we'll tell you that you're pre-diabetic. Right. I'm like, nah.
And in that time, could you have a little jog?
Yeah. Don't eat for 12 hours while we get to you. And I go, nah, I'm just going now, mate.
Yeah.
So I'm not pre-diabetic, so you can go fuck yourself.
I mean, you are.
I'm not.
You might not be officially, but you are.
I don't think you are going
to be diabetic at some point, therefore you are pre-diabetic.
I drink a lot of Diet Coke, so
that's... Oh, well, that's fine then.
That's my protection against it.
Yeah.
Well, what? That's got no sugar in it. Sugar causes diabetes.
It's just sweetener in it, which is probably worse.
Yeah, the aspartame. Really?
Aspartame, yeah.
What?
Yeah, the aspartame. So sugar.
What did you think it was a fucking health tonic? Diet Coke? Did you think it was, like, good for you?
Well, I didn't think it was good, but I didn't think it was bad.
So, yeah, basically, bad, yeah. Sugar's a natural substance that your body will break down naturally.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
Whereas the aspartamine is a synthetic chemical made by man that they fire in to give you the substance.
It's like a difference between weed and spice.
Aye.
Yeah.
Are you messing?
No.
I've been drinking Diet Spice for fucking years.
Look at the back of your can.
Yeah.
That list of ingredients
isn't like, it's not like, you know, fruit and stuff, is it?
Well, I happen to have a can.
You might say fruit extracts.
Right.
Yeah.
Carbonated water, coloured sweeteners. Aspartamine.
There it is.
Yeah. Why are you shocked by that? How do you think they made it sweet?
I thought that it was just like...
No sugar.
No, I thought it was like... I didn't even know, actually. I just thought there was no sugar and it was just not as sweet as the other one.
Right. So you just thought they had nothing in it?
You're probably actually better with Coke.
Yeah.
Like with Coca-Cola or Pepsi.
I mean, you're probably better off just having some water. Just, you know...
I do drink water from time to time, but it's boring, isn't it? It's like a waste of a drink.
See, I really like water.
Yeah. It's like nice cold water, nothing better.
It's like soup is like a waste of a meal.
A soup can be like part of a meal.
Like if you're having your dinner and you're like... Oh,
you never
have
just a soup?
Never.
Just like a load of bread fills you up, lovely.
That's insane.
It's not insane.
Be soup and bread.
Yeah, but soup's
like, have
just...
a look at us. Who do you think knows more about controlling their diet, Freddie? Right? Have a soup. Have a nice soup.
I feel so personally attacked.
You are personally attacked. I'm personally attacking you right now.
See when you have pasta?
Yeah.
All the time.
Right, is it pasta sauce? Is it like pasta with a sauce or is it pasta with a sauce of like chicken?
It depends what I'm making. I'm a big connoisseur of pasta.
He is quite a good cook of pasta, actually. Like, he puts on his Instagram stuff he's made and it does look good, to be fair. Zero veg, but it looks tasty.
Yeah, because who puts veg in pasta?
Everyone, the Italians.
Yeah, and what do they know about pasta?
Fucking hell. Who puts veg in pasta? Do you ever listen to yourself? And just go, oh, maybe I'm just a fucking idiot fat cunt. Maybe I am.
It's fucking harsh, man.
He does this all the time.
It's harsh.
He does this all the time.
Mate. This is literally what the podcast is, to be fair.
He does this all the time. What he does is he makes really dreadful cook puns. Yeah. And then he attacks...
Which I stand by.
He attacks overweight people.
Not overweight people, just you.
Because he's afraid.
Just you. I'm afraid you're going to fall on me.
Well, like IKEA furniture.
Yeah. Gonna have to put wall plugs in, get you secured to it.
Got two roll plugs up my arse.
Just hooked onto your shop, yeah. Man.
Do you know, like, loads of IKEA furniture kills kids? Yeah. Like, every year.
Yeah, because people don't put the little clips
exactly,
on.
Exactly, they don't attach it. So, like, a bookcase, yeah. If you put weight on that, all the weight's coming on the front, you just touch
and
it.
And they go, ah, what's the worst that'll happen?
I'll just kill my 4-year-old.
No one can be arsed doing that into the wall.
Yeah. I love the idea.
If you look behind me, you'll see that's screwed into the wall properly. I've screwed everything in. I've done it proper.
I love how you're trying to get lesbian points. I know. You're like,
look, I've done it properly. Do you want to see my drill? Honestly, my lesbian mate Lainey is the only person who will talk to me about tools.
Why do you think I wore this flannel shirt today?
If you look under there, there's actually a load of board games and a cat.
That sounds like my fucking house.
I don't know any other lesbian stereotypes. Otherwise,
I think we've done them all.
I keep playing the game.
Doc Martens, that's one.
What do they eat?
Pussy.
Vegetables.
Vegetables.
You're fucked for being a lesbian.
Actually, I had cucumber on that tuna sandwich.
Oh, hello. He's had a bit of fucking solid water. Well done.
He did.
It's like the least nutritious vegetable you could have had.
Oh, my God.
It's like
90%
water.
He doesn't fucking stop.
And also, it's five a day, not one a month.
Well, there was five slices.
No, not outcast. It's five different. And a slice isn't a portion, is it?
Yes.
No.
How come, right?
Right, so a slice of cucumber is a portion, but a kilo of pasta is also a portion.
How come portions of sweets is like one fucking sweet per packet is a portion, but
because
portions of vegetable is
sugar.
Like 73 carrots is one portion.
Why do you think that might be, Freddie? Maybe your body needs the nutrients from fruit and veg and doesn't
but
need
my
the chemicals
been coping
in sweets.
Fine without
it's not
the nutrients.
Fine, is it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Is this peak performance, is it?
For me, yeah.
Right, can we film Freddie walking up some stairs, please?
Do you know what? I've been quite concerned that I get out of breath doing nothing.
Yeah, I've seen it happen.
These days. Oh, yeah. I think it's because I've got asthma.
Oh, that'll be it.
Yeah.
But that's one of the contributing factors.
I don't do anything about it, which is the problem.
Yeah.
But maybe it's long COVID.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's long fat cunt. It's...
You know, man, honestly, thank God he's not the Secretary of State for Health.
To be honest, I'd fit right in.
Honestly, man, just putting us up against the wall and shooting us.
Just him.
BMI.
Just him. Just him.
He's dreadful, isn't he?
Just
him. He's absolutely dreadful. He's got a real problem.
Listen, though, it's his free speech.
This is it. I'm exercising my free speech. I'm unleashed, baby.
Do you know what it is? It's because he can't put weight on. I've seen him topless. He looks ridiculous.
I can't. I like. Well, better than you.
You look like you look like an S. The letter S.
Amazing.
Yeah. Let's go for a little run. See who's in better shape.
No. Let's fight.
Right.
Okay.
Fine. 100%
you get out
of walking upstairs. Come catch me.
Doesn't matter. I'll punch you once, and that'll be the end of it.
Okay. I mean, again, we've seen you on the punching machine. Got one of the lowest scores out of any comedian in the entire country.
No, I didn't.
He got a lower score than Tiny Little Bisexual Tony Wright.
And just because he's bisexual, you now think that he can't punch.
Well, you know, it's hard to punch with a limp wrist.
Wow. Tony Wright can't punch because he's bisexual. That's not
correct.
Well,
he can now. He's taken up wrestling, so now he's actually like, he can, you know, if it was nowadays, Tony Wright, fair enough, he'll take the ball off.
He can't punch because he's Filipino?
No, half Somali.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Way off. That's so far off.
Wow. Jesus.
Like, not even the same fucking continent.
I genuinely thought...
No.
Miles away.
No, he did a show called Somali and Me.
Really? Yeah. That's a great
title
for a show.
Isn't it?
That's how you do a fucking pun, you stupid cunt.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. I'll eat that one. Yeah.
Oh, go on.
No, I left it. I left it. I left it. I didn't say
eat that one. No, you do it. Go on.
Right, like you would a big bowl of sweets.
Yeah. You see what he's like? He's like this all the time.
You made me do
he's
that.
He's like this all the time.
You made me do that. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, did you see, by the way, did you see that article that got posted about that comedian who said, I got not booked for being Jewish?
I did see that, yeah.
Yes, I did see that. I seen this in the middle of the night because I had a really bad night's sleep. Yeah, I did read that, and it was quite alarming, kind of what the promoter said, to basically go, my audience are old and you're a bit too Jewish.
It's kind of that. It was more that like he said that they don't there isn't a Jewish community in the area, so they might not understand it. And watching the comedian stuff, it is all very much Jewish culture jokes.
Right.
So I kind of like, and I know who the I've worked out who the promoter is, right. And like basically
give us an anagram of who the promoter is.
Yeah, right. this promoter, right? Like you can't swear at any of his gigs. He once pulled Stuart Lee off stage in the middle of a routine. Like
did he?
Yeah, it's in Stuart Lee's book. Like, but the audience is 10 85-year-olds from Bridlington. Right, it's like, it's the oldest...
That sounds fucking, like a terrible gig.
It's horrible.
Why would you do that?
I did it once and he never booked me again, right?
I've done it once as well. Yeah, it was dreadful.
I've clearly never done it.
It was like when I did it, it was like in like the Bridlington Grand. Do you know what I mean? And it was like this enormous 600-seater theatre.
With 20 people.
There was honestly like 20 pensioners. Yeah, yeah. And they didn't even sit them near the front. It was. Do you know what it was like? Do you remember those Buzz Bingo gigs? Yeah. It was like that, but in a theatre rather than a theatre. Oh.
So basically, this is a relatively, let's say eccentric, I mean mental, promoter who's been going forever and gigs are dwindling to basically nothing because of stuff like this, I think, you know. So I think it's like an old guy who's phrased something very clumsily rather than any like malice behind it. And like, I feel, you know, like obviously it's not good, but also like, you know, sat on it for quite a while before the Edinburgh show in order to like to complain about it. It's been a couple of years. Now there's an Edinburgh show to promote. Now it's when the...
Has it been a couple of years?
Something like that, yeah. Oh, it's been a while.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That's a little bit sussy.
But, you know, like, you shouldn't not book someone because they're Jewish. It's stand-up. If you want to ban Jewish people from anything, not stand-up. They're fucking great at it.
No.
Like, they've really pushed the art form forward. Yeah. We wouldn't have modern stand-up without Jewish people. Let them
Christmas
do that.
Christmas songs on most songs from musicals of the past 100%. 70 years.
Wait, yeah. Christmas songs?
Oh, yeah. Most of your Christmas songs were written by Jewish songwriters. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like your old school stuff. Yeah. Homosexuals and Jewish.
Yeah.
The Jewish, like, you know,
they propped up our culture.
Basically propped up. Like the arts and propped up like Broadway and the West End. Yeah. And
no way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I thought, like, so like Jingle Bells and Dashing Through the Snow and all that shit. Wow.
Yeah, it was actually originally called Dreidel Bells.
Wow. So bad.
That's what he does.
So bad.
It's just what he is. Come here. Where's that leash?
Get me a leash.
Where's the leash?
Get the pun leash.
Comedy, it's running wild. It's comedy's running amok.
If only it would.
Yes.
Like, should we watch some videos before we go?
Watch some videos.
Right. So, what happens here is our wonderful fans send us in brilliant fun videos from all over the internet.
And see behind you in the new studio, this is our wall of demonetization.
There's some real cast of characters.
So
up here.
We have the Naked Martin, friend of the show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with Naked Martin's canon. He's very much got his own Marvel Cinematic Universe of stuff he's shoved up his arse or eaten. Yeah.
Wow.
If you want a man to shit in his hand and rub it on his face, that's your guy.
£30 as well. Yeah. Really cheap.
Very, very reasonable. Very reasonably priced.
It's very reasonably
priced.
Do
hit up Naked Martin for custom videos.
You said that like you were sending me like a really like decent boozer that does cheap lager. You're like, really reasonable. I was like, yeah. What?
Yeah, he does Curry Thursdays.
It looks like it.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff. Right, let's see what people have said in this.
Right,
race.
Well, let's start with a gentle one, I reckon. Can we go constipated elephant first? I think you'll work out what this is. It's genuinely.
I mean, I've worked it out already, guessing from the title.
Here we go.
Oh, wait a minute. So this is two people.
In super slow-mo, unplugging an elephant's ass. So there's a big solid bit of shit, and then so much... What I like about it is they've worn the ponchos like they're at SeaWorld.
That's what I like. Those are the free ponchos that they give away at Disney at the entrance where they go, it rains at 2 o'clock in Florida.
I think it's gone in his mouth.
What are you doing at World Today? I'm giving an elephant an enema.
Yeah.
I know.
They just have to unplug it. So there's like that solid bit and then a bunk and then it all fucking goes.
What would happen?
Can we have a little rewind on that?
What would happen if this was in the wild? What would happen to that elephant?
Probably just die. Look at that solid bit.
Oh, it's green. It's actually green.
Man. It goes right in that guy's mouth. To be fair, this is like me when I get back from a festival.
You don't use the toilet.
Not for 3 days. Nah.
Do you know what, as well? One of them has got off that remarkably well.
Oh, yeah, and the other one's got it straight in the face.
And the other one's got absolutely fucked.
Got a full elephant facial. Right.
That's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not ideal. Can I have a look at the list of videos? What should we got next? Oh, let's have a look at firemen. This is a fun one. You're never going to guess how this one ends, right?
Fire.
Oh, let's have a look. If you double click on it, David goes full screen. There you go, mate. There we go.
Oh, that building's going to blow in it.
Well, so there's like a video, in the video, there's like a little building that's smoking. People are filming from a distance away from a building. It's somewhere foreign from the voice. Here we go, here comes the fire.
I'm sorry, but... Oh my god!
Oh my god!
What the fuck? No!
Oh my god.
I'll be honest, I was not expecting
that. I wasn't expecting that either.
Exactly. So what a surprise.
So for those of you that listen to that on audio, it's a smoking building and a fire truck comes around the corner.
And it's such a misdirection, isn't it?
And also as well, like, I know this is kind of not really the point, but that's a really pathetic looking fire truck, isn't it?
Sure.
Also, right, do you know what? I had a total flashback there too, right? So... Can I ask, how old are you, Rob?
34.
34, right. So you're still around about the same age. So I was like 21 when September the 11th happened, right?
Right.
And I remember watching it live on
television. Yeah, I remember watching it live,
right?
Yeah.
And you know that bit when they look up and it's just the plane that hits the second tower? They're like, oh, what's that noise? Bang, and you're like, what's good? That was how I felt with that person jumping out of that building. I was like, that's so bad.
Oh, we've managed to get to 9/11 levels on the
videos.
That's
so bad because that was the least thing you were expecting.
Exactly.
There, wasn't it?
So what happens is someone falls from a building completely unconnected to the fire and their leg goes in such a mad angle.
Do you reckon they're dead?
Aye.
And
It's the hit. They hit and then they skid.
I think the leg
bit.
Takes most of the force. I'm optimistic. I always think they're fine.
Put it on again. Just skip to the bit where it falls, because that's the bit where...
So, if we skip forward a bit...
Here we go. Right, so here it comes.
Fine.
That leg.
Get the magic sponge.
One of those legs is bent so badly, it's pointing back up.
It's awful.
It looks like a fidget spinner.
Mate, he's lying there like a swastika.
So good.
Yeah.
It's probably...
Okay, well, let's have a little palate cleanser, right? We've got one that's on a theme, right? So if you have a look over there, there's a little one of the high heels stamping on a penis that's a particular favourite of ours.
Oh, I hate the high heels.
So we've got a new one called Dick Trampoline.
Oh,
right?
No.
Which is...
hate these.
Yeah, I know. This is why I want to show you this one.
Oh,
so here we go.
Oh, no, my God.
So this one is someone two-footed jumping. It's a similar arrangement to the dick stamp. They've got a dick through a board. And then someone is jumping up and down, barefoot.
Like a glory hole.
Exactly. But with the balls through as well.
Yeah.
And then someone is jumping full force up and down on it. Can you show Freddy again, please? Yeah. Can you just keep looping in it for Freddy? It's 1 foot on the bollocks as well. It's fucking brutal, isn't it?
She's using the radiator as purchase.
Oh, shit. Yeah, she's got leverage.
He's loving it, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that is someone's best day of their life.
Do you know what? As well, he's got a decent-sized dick.
Not anymore. It's 2D now.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks like non-bread now. Just flattened.
Put a bit of sauce on it, get it in the pizza oven. It'd be lovely.
That's it.
Yeah, it's going in an uni.
Well, I think it's an innie now. Right, I think should maybe one more and then wind it in.
Right,
we can go top tier awful, or we can go like normal awful.
Normal awful.
Right, okay. We'll save Willie Holder for later.
Willie Holder.
Oh, wait there. It's called Willie Holder.
It's called Willie Holder.
Yeah, it's Noddy Holder's brother.
I've given it a nicer title than the video is.
Okay.
Look, you're intrigued now.
Go on, Willie Holder.
Go on, do it.
All right, we're going Willie Holder. I do warn you, you're about to see something you can't unsee.
Why are you so hard? Were you possessed?
Oh, my God.
How could you just have the heart to cut off your butt?
So, it is quite literally a woman holding a willy.
My friend, will you shut up and ask your question?
Ah.
Freddy's face.
Every time I go to tell, I'm making leave girls.
So she seems quite upset.
She's holding a severed dick.
Yeah.
Oh my God! That's the guy!
The guy waiting to see for picture. He come out.
Look how chilly he is. Well, everyone just takes pictures of the missing
dick. And go hotel. We'll be safe then. Catch him. Best people go rescue.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's not great.
Boys, that's bad.
Yeah. I told you, top tier.
Top tier.
Oh, my Lord above.
Why is he just sat there chilling?
Use knife, cut and
Christ almighty.
In
what case,
he said, the man did, and he hold the dick as with the dogs.
I mean, he seems so calm.
I'm out.
That's
I'm out.
That's brutal.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm out. At this time, no, I'm out.
That's done, innit?
I'm out, man.
Yeah, it's...
I'm done. That's more penis than I've seen in almost 25 years or something like that. So I am. I'm all out, lads. I'm all out. But that was a toughie, wasn't it?
That one upset me. Yeah, I'm like so desensitized to these videos, and I find them really funny. Pretty much all of them.
Oh.
That one upset me.
The worst one is how he sat there dickless.
Yeah,
and his mates are just like. Instagram stories.
To be fair, if someone ripped your knob off, I'm getting a photo.
Really?
For the wall.
You wouldn't even have... Oh, right, okay. Yeah,
yeah, come on. It's
understandable.
Content,
it's the wall of demonetization.
Yeah.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
Fuck,
so, like, I wish... Like, if anyone happens to speak whatever language that is, I'd love to know what they're saying.
I think English. Like, I'm pretty sure it was English, that.
Right.
Try it.
It's definitely not.
Just play the audio again.
It's 100%
I felt
English.
Like I understood some of it.
I feel like they do say dick in English at some
point. Maybe there's like little bits of English gone into it, but I think it's not
just,
English.
Just play the audio again.
But why are you so hard? Were you possessed or what?
Were you possessed or what? It's a strong accent.
Boyfriend private parts.
Yeah,
boyfriend
no,
private parts.
Yeah, it is actually, yeah.
My friend, stop
with the video now. Yeah, sorry, I wasn't even listening because I was just like watching the dick.
Yeah, but if anyone can,
I was distracted.
Fair.
Yeah.
If anyone can understand what language this is, then please get in touch with us.
All right,
Rob Mulholland.
All right, you thought Somali was Filipino, so we're one all.
My brother, one day shall never end. The guy waiting to see for picture, he come out. You go put body person wide.
Okay, yeah, we can stop watching this now.
Yeah, we can start watching it.
Jesus Christ.
It was tough, that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was brutal, boys.
He's so
chill.
He's
quite a handsome guy as well, you know.
He's so chill about it.
And I think that's shock, innit?
No.
You think he's not in shock? His dick's just been ripped
off. But I'd still be like, ah! I'd still be running around like, fuck
you! You wouldn't be running.
I would. He's having a panic attack. Nah, he's just ran for 3 seconds.
Jesus. I don't know how I'd react to my dick being ripped off. I don't think I'd be so calm, personally.
Boys,
but it's just fuel shock.
That was bad.
Yeah. So you know how you're like, oh, you're looking forward to having a nice sleep tonight? Not anymore.
Oh, no, I'll be fine. But,
mate,
oh, man, that was so bad.
It's been so good having you, though,
mate. It's been a giggle.
Mate, honestly, for first guest in the new studio, dead glad to have you, mate.
Thanks
it's been a joy. You're doing The Fringe, aren't you?
I am, mate.
Yeah,
still
so,
done.
Like, not everything at The Fringe is shit. Some
Hopefully.
Things are fucking great. So, when are you on? Where are you on?
Assembly Studio 2, 7:45 to 8:45 every night except the 15th.
Nice. We heartily recommend it. Like, you're just a fucking great stand-up. You just
Thanks,
do stand-up.
Mate.
Like, I think maybe the first time I worked with you was at the Glee. Do you remember when
we had,
like, the horrible stag doing and
That's
you were comparing?
Right. That's right.
And Susie just fucking... You were so brilliantly condescending to them that it actually worked. You just had a real little... I know you think you're being dead clever. It was fucking great. night, mate. You set the vibe for the night beautifully.
You just, aye, that's it. If you're an MC, you just try and save the gig. Make it playable for everybody.
But you did it fucking brilliantly, mate. So
sometimes being an MC at those gigs feels like, you know, the Saving Private Ryan, where you're like,
totally.
You can see that you're just about to approach the shores, and you're like, I'm going to get fucked. Yeah, I'm going to get shot. I might as well just accept it and just get on with it. And hopefully the person behind me can have a reasonable fucking invasion.
But you did it great, mate. And so go see Susie. Go check out your stand-up. And
social media, anything on the social medias?
Oh, Facebook, Insta, Twitter. Hi, so there.
Yeah. So the enthusiasm pouring out of you.
So there. Yeah. Like, give me an ad. Have a bit of chat. Don't be a dick.
That seems like a decent role.
That's all we ask. Like, just be fucking decent. Just be a decent human being.
Yeah. Or be a fan of this podcast.
or unleash yourself.
Get unleashed. If you've got a video to send us in, it's 07520 644 931 on WhatsApp. 07520 644 931. Also, we've got a live roast coming up. We're 17th of August at the Frog and Bucket is the next one.
Yeah, we are doing an hour and a half of cooking-related puns.
Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be fucking fire. But yeah, come see us there.
Because we're cooking on a gas stove.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, dude. also, if you're not on our Patreon yet, get on it. Don't be a cunt.
www.patreon.com/deadmentalkpod. £3 a month, and for that you get
loads of shit.
Cool. Right, thanks very much for listening. Enjoy the new studio that was bought with Patreon money. We'll see you next week.
Go fuck yourself.
Fuck off.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.